We are met in this solemn moment to give thanks for the life of Annie Harper and also to commend her body into the hands of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. In the presence of death, Christians have sure ground for hope and confidence and even for joy. Why not? Such a wonderful person going home, we should be joyful and glad and rejoicing that her earthly sorrows are over. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who shared our human life and death, was raised again triumphant and lives forevermore. In him, his people find eternal life. Let us then, in humble trust, thank God and worship him together. As we turn to our first item of praise, we hope that you've all got these orders of service. The first hymn we will sing together. God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there because my Saviour lives. Let us rejoice in the Lord this afternoon as we thank God for that wonderful life that the Lord Jesus has taken over into his heavenly presence, the life of Annie Harper. Let's worship God together. Briefly, we will pray to God and commend ourselves and our worship to Him this afternoon. We've done that already, but we want to make sure that God's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. As He moved in the life of Annie Harper for so many years, we want to make sure that God, the Holy Spirit, is moving in our midst to lead us on into that life of victory and triumph in Him. Before we pray, we would like to say that the Harper family greatly appreciate the presence of all who have come this afternoon to offer condolences, to offer prayers, and to support them at this time of bereavement. On behalf of all those present, we would extend the condolences of you all to the Harper family, to Sam, to David, Gordon, Albert, Douglas, and Dorothy. And then, of course, that would come on down into the grandchildren and so many other people who are connected with this wonderful woman whom we say goodbye to today. So do accept the condolences of those who are here, to the Harper family, and to those who are here, do accept the appreciation of the Harper family for coming along this afternoon. Let us pray. Let us bow before God as we pray to Him and ask His blessing upon the proceedings and upon all concerned this afternoon. First of all, we'll have some prayers of thanksgiving. Praise and honour, glory and thanks be given to you, Almighty God, our Father, because in your great love for the world, you gave your Son to be our Saviour, to live our life, to bear our griefs, and to die our death upon the cross. We praise you because you have brought him back from the dead with great power and glory, and given him all authority in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. We thank you because he has conquered sin and death for us and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. We praise you for the great company of the faithful whom Christ has brought through death to behold your face in glory, who join with us in worship, prayer, and service. For your full, perfect, and sufficient gift of life in Christ, all praise and thanks be given to you forever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, in your wisdom and grace, you have given us joy through the life of your departed servant. We thank you for her and for our memories of her. We praise you that goodness and mercy has followed her all the days of her life, and for her faithfulness in the tasks to which you called her. We thank you that for her the tribulations of this life are over and death is past, and we pray that you will bring us with her to the joy of your perfect and eternal kingdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, we pray this afternoon that you will bless those who mourn. We want to commend them to you. We pray that you will be their support, their strength, and their shield, that they may trust in you now and always, that you will deliver them from all sadness, sorrow, or distress, and that Christ, our Saviour and Lord, will be in their hearts and in their lives today and as they proceed into the future. Grant to them the spirit of faith, that they may receive your promises and receive your grace to help in time of need. May they look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at your right hand in glory. As they return to the duties of life, let your peace protect them, and the risen, victorious Lord and Saviour sustain them in your service all the days of their lives. We pray these things, giving you thanks in the name of Christ, our Saviour. We will now listen to God. God has been listening to us as we've prayed, and we want to hear from God as well. We want God to speak to us. And for our reading from the Scripture, we've asked Cheryl Smith, one of Annie's granddaughters to read to us from God's Word. Could you do that now, Cheryl? Come over. Thank you.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
On occasions like this, we often find that words are hard to find to express what we would all like to say about the person who's gone. And I'm sure you're all agreed this afternoon that it would be very hard to find words to express all that we would have to say about Annie Harper. I'm sure we're all agreed on that. But we're going to ask Victor to come over and to share with us a few tributes to what Annie is, and I'm sure these will be a blessing to us all as we share them together. Victor.
Well, I'm sure if I had the opportunity to ask Annie what we would say at her funeral service, I'm sure she would have only wanted that which would bring glory and honour to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she loved and served. And so, looking back over the years, I knew Annie, or came to know her, in the early 30s. And in some of those years, she came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Saviour. And with a number of us at that time, she became a member of our Kilkenny Faith Mission Prayer Union. And she attended that prayer union faithfully over those years, right up to the end, until a month ago when her health failed. Now, Annie was a woman of prayer. She loved the Lord and she loved his word. Way back, over 53 years ago, Sam and Annie were married in Coolcullen, Annie's home parish. I had the pleasure at that time of being their best man at that wedding service. And those vows which were made in the presence of the Lord and their commitment to one another has been carried through right up to the night God saw fit to call her home to be with himself. And I can truly say that it was a true example of that which God has joined together, their life and their love for one another and their family. All through Annie's life, she proved herself by the grace of God to be a loving wife and a God-fearing mother. Annie and Sam brought up their children in the nurture and training of the Lord, and they had the joy later of seeing each of them coming to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Now Annie's time has come to depart this life, and we know that all of us will face that sooner or later. And isn't it grand to know, according to the word of God, as Paul has put it, that when our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And as we heard from the scriptures there, God has gone, or the Lord Jesus Christ has gone, to prepare a place for us, promised to come again and receive us unto himself. So we see the value of putting our faith and our trust in him. And at the moment we can say she is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. And I think that's a very comforting word for all those who will feel her loss at this time. And we know we're encouraged to comfort one another with these words, which we do. And we give the Lord all the praise and the glory.
Thank you. One of the hymns that Annie has often sung in church and on other occasions is our next item of praise. It's the second hymn on your order of service. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Let's think on the triumphs of God's grace this afternoon as we sing. Annie Harper's one of them, and thank God for all the others. Let us worship God as we sing and rejoice in that God has given us at least one tongue to sing his praises this afternoon. Let's worship God.
Lead me, my dream, my joy, my dream, my joy. The reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Yeah.
As one got to know Annie Harper in her rich life, with so many wonderful talents and qualities, one of the things she loved was poetry. In fact, she has a book, a kind of an exercise book thing written with a number of poems in it, and I've had the privilege of reading through it. In our worship this afternoon, we've asked Albert to share in our worship by reading to us a poem. Thank you, Albert.
The poem I'd like to share with you this afternoon is not one of my mom's poems. It's a poem taken from a series of sermons written by an Afro-American pastor. But it's a poem which I think underlines the great message of hope we have for those who die in the Lord. I have changed a few words and a few lines here and there just to fit the occasion of the day. You'll see as I go along. Weep not, weep not, she is not dead. She is resting in the bosom of Jesus. Heartbroken husband, weep no more. Grief-stricken sons, weep no more. Left lonesome daughter, weep no more. She's only just gone home. Last Tuesday, late at night, God is looking down from his great high heaven, looking down on all his children. And his eye fell on Sister Annie, lying there so weak and frail. And God's big heart was touched with pity, with everlasting pity. And God sat back on his throne, and he commanded that tall, bright angel standing at his right hand, call to me, death. And that tall, bright angel cried in a voice that broke like a clap of thunder, call death, call death. And the echo sounded down the streets of heaven, till it reached the way back to that shadowy place where death waits with his pale white horses. And death heard the summons, and he leaped on his fastest horse, pale as a sheet in the moonlight. Up the golden street death galloped, and the hoofs of his horse struck fire from the gold, but they didn't make no sound. Up death rode to the great white throne and waited for God's command. And God said, go down, death. Go down to St. Luke's, down in Kilkenny, and find Sister Annie. She's borne the burden of the heat of the day. She's labored long in my vineyard, and she's tired. She's weary. Go down, Death, and bring her to me. And Death didn't say a word, but he loosed the reins on his pale white horse, and he clamped the spurs to its bloodless sides, and out and down he rode through heaven's pearly gates, past suns and moons and stars, on Death Road, and the foam from his horse was like a comet in the sky. On Death Road, leaving the lightning's flash behind, straight on down he came. While we were watching round her bed with heavy hearts on that fateful day, she saw what we couldn't see. She saw old Death. She saw old Death coming like a falling star. But death didn't frighten Sister Annie. He looked to her like a welcome friend. And she thought to herself, I'm going home. Just one last breath, and she was gone. And death took her up like a baby. And she lay in his icy arms, but she didn't feel no chill. And death began to ride again, up beyond the evening star, out beyond the morning star, into the glittering light of glory, onto the great white throne. And there he laid Sister Annie in the loving arms of Jesus. And Jesus took his own hand and wiped away her tears, and he smoothed the furrows from her face. And the angels sang a little song, and Jesus rocked her in his arms and kept her saying, "Take your rest. Take your rest. Take your rest. Weep not. Weep not. She is not dead. She's resting in the bosom of Jesus."
I want to thank George for the opportunity of sharing in this service today and of adding our own brief word of love and sympathy to the family circle at a time when they and we grieve with them, to Sam and to Gordon, to Albert, to David, to Dorothy and to Douglas, and to the rest of the family circle and indeed to the Methodist congregation, for you have lost a loved one who was very much at the heart of your fellowship. We all mourn today the passing of a lovely lady and an elder sister in Christ. And I'm very glad for two reasons that we were able to have the service here today, though Annie was very much a member of the Methodist congregation. I think first and foremost because Annie was a friend and a follower of Jesus. Denominational labels were not high up her list. And there's a sense in which we felt she belonged to us all. She had a great love for the unity of God's people in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That was the mark of her life. And so for that reason, I'm glad that we can all join today to celebrate her life and mourn her passing together. She was also a very regular attender at the services here in the evening. When there was nothing on in the Methodist Church, she would come to the services here. And I couldn't help but be struck by a quality that she had, which was exactly like her sister Tilly. When I came here about 14 years ago, it was Tilly's death, which was one of the very first occasions I had to conduct a funeral in this community. And both had exactly the same quality of encouragement. The encouragement of a smiling face during the service, and then an encouraging voice after the service. Without fail, Annie and Tilly were encouragers. Tremendous amount to discourage in the world today, as they're not, even in the church. What a wonderful thing to have Christian encouragers like Annie Harper. And many of us will miss her very greatly for that smile in the pew and that word of encouragement afterwards. I had the chance to say that to her on a number of occasions during these last weeks in hospital. Perhaps to say thank you to someone in a way that we don't normally take the trouble to do during the normal course of life. We don't often express appreciation for things like this. We kind of take them for granted. And I was reminding her just of how much her smile was appreciated. And she simply said that she hoped she would be back here again to share in the services. And that was not to be, because Christ called her home before then. But as Victor said, Annie doesn't, I'm quite sure, want us to talk too much about her today, but about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she loved and served. And the question I want to leave with you today, and I'm very glad that the passage that David read was the one that was chosen. I didn't know that was chosen, but that was the passage to which I was drawn for this afternoon. How do we feel today? How do we respond to the passing of a life's partner, of a mother, of a Christian sister, of a grandmother, of a very much valued member of our Christian community? Here's what the Apostle Paul says to his brothers and sisters. "We do not want you to be ignorant of those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." Here Paul reminds us of the grief of those of us who are left behind. Christian people, like everybody else, grieve. We feel very sad today. Indeed, many of us feel brokenhearted today, and we don't pretend otherwise. We're not like the Stoics, the Greek philosophers who kept a stiff upper lip. We're told that our Lord Jesus Christ came to an occasion like this, and in the normal translations it says he wept, but what it literally says is he burst into tears. He was overcome by emotion. And we're not ashamed of tears today. We're not ashamed to grieve the loss of someone who we love very much. Grief is a healthy Christian emotion. It's a healthy human emotion. The more Christian we become, the more human we ought to become, the more like our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ does not rule out grief, and we don't pretend otherwise today. But what he does do is he rules out hopeless grief. He says we do not grieve like those who have no hope. Here's the single greatest point of contrast of the Christian gospel with the secular message that is all around us today. Because that message can offer us hope for this life only. And then it has nothing at all to say at the end. It leaves an inconsolable, hopeless grief. And it's my sad experience to see that again and again and again. But, says the Apostle Paul, we do not want you to grieve like that, as those who have no hope. He reminds us of our natural grief today, but the reason he says that we do not grieve without hope, he says, remember the state of those who have died in Christ. He uses a lovely phrase. He says, those who have fallen asleep. That's simply the New Testament word which reminds us that death is not the terminus of life, but it is a transit lounge on the way. Remember the words of Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, or before he came there. He said, Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to waken him. Of Jairus' daughter, this little girl, he said, she's asleep. And the very word cemetery comes from a Latin word, comitorium, which means a sleeping place. But let me stress that the New Testament does not teach the sleep of the soul. It's speaking here of the sleep of the body. Our bodies wear out and they die and they go to the grave, and there they sleep and await the return and the resurrection of the body at the return of Christ. When Paul says we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, these vile earthly bodies will be transformed and made like his glorious body. So our bodies sleep in the dust. But the Christian believer does not sleep in the dust. The Christian believer, says Paul, goes directly to be with Christ. C.S. Lewis, in his own inimitable way, describes it as going to the dentist's, getting an anesthetic and waking up and hearing a voice saying, rinse your mouth out with this. So, for the believer, going to death. We fall asleep in death. We awaken his presence. It seems like no time in between. The voices of the world fade. We hear his voice. We leave this world of shadows. We go directly into the world that's fully awake. Paul says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To depart is to be with Christ, which is far better. Our Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's why we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We do not indeed grieve at all for any today, as has already been pointed out. We grieve for ourselves. We feel the grief. But she has woken up not to hear someone say, wash out your mouth with this, but to hear her Lord Jesus Christ welcome her into his presence. Death is a sleeping of the body. That will be resurrected at the return of Christ. But for the believer, it is to be with Christ. But then Paul speaks too of the reunion of those who belong to Christ. He said, then we will be with the Lord forever. And the reunion of Christian believers with Christ and with each other, we're told, comes about in one of two ways. Either we go to be with him as Annie has gone at the point of death, or he will come for us at his return if we remain on earth. There had to be at least one Charles Wesley hymn, I thought, today in the service, being a Methodist service. And I want to quote some words from another great hymn of Charles Wesley. He writes, let saints on earth in concert sing with those whose work is done, for all the servants of our King in earth and heaven are one. One family we dwell in him, one church above, beneath, though now divided by the stream, the narrow stream of death. One army of the living God, to his command we bow. Part of his host have crossed the flood, and part is crossing now. Even now to their eternal home, their past some spirits blessed, while others to the margins come, waiting their call to rest. Jesus, be thou our constant guide, then when the word is given, bid Jordan's narrow stream divide, and bring us safe to heaven. Some of us here are nearer the margins than we think. It will soon be time to cross. And for the Christian believer, that is to be not only with Christ, but with his people. And Paul says, we will be with the Lord forever. That's why today we grieve, but we do not grieve without hope. Because our loved ones have gone to be with Christ, and because we too will cross that stream, and we will be joined with him and with them, and we will be with the Lord forever. But Paul would remind us of one other thing, because he was not a sentimentalist. And so he ends what he's saying with a word of warning. He speaks of the separation of those who refuse Christ. If you like, he's giving us here a picture of a magnet. Some things are drawn to the magnet, and some are repelled by it. And so he says at Christ's return, there will be those who will be drawn to him and go to be with him. There will be those who will be but repelled by him and go away from him. He puts it here very bluntly. He says, either we will enter salvation or suffer wrath. How can it be for us? How do we know which it is for us? Well, the answer is very simple. If we have come to him by faith now, he will come for us then. If we have received him now, he will receive us then. I've just left another funeral of a lovely Christian lady in Care, one, again, like Annie, someone who's very much missed in the little fellowship there. But I was reminding the people that the words we often throw around almost as Christian jargon, the words eternal life, we tend to think of those words as meaning heaven. Something in the future that you get tagged on to the end of your life. But that is not what they mean at all. The New Testament says that eternal life is to know God and the Son Jesus now. And death simply is the continuation of that. There is no break at death. But if we do not know him now, we will not know him then. If we have not come to him now, we cannot come to him then. If we have not received him now, he cannot receive us then. Eternal life is something we know as a present possession now. And it goes on for all eternity. So Paul ends up with this word of warning. He says, waken up. He says, we do not want you to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us that so whether we live or sleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. I could not finish today without inviting you to take those words on board for yourself. Maybe for one reason or another you've resisted the voice of Christ till now. Well, says the Apostle Paul, don't do it any longer. Come to him. Come in faith to Christ now, and you, like Annie Harbour, will be certain that on that day he will come for you. And you, with her and with the whole Christian company, will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, says Paul, encourage one another with these words. May God bring encouragement not only to the family and all who grieve today, but make Annie's joy complete that some would come today to embrace the one whom she loved and served and to whom she has now gone. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we cannot hide our sense of loss and our grief and our tears today, because we have lost someone who loved us and showed that love to us and whom we too had come to love. And Father, today we can only but thank you for every memory of Annie for her gracious, encouraging witness among us all, not only in the family, but in the whole Christian community. And Father, we feel very sad today because we're going to miss her. But Father, we thank you that there's something even more important than her love for us and our love for her. We thank you, Lord, that she loved you and that you loved her. And now you have taken her to be with you. And Father, we thank you that we do not say these things out of mere sentiment, but based upon the solid fact of the life and the death and the resurrection and the promises of your Son, that because he died and was raised again from death to life, that he will bring to newness of life all who put their trust in him. Father, today we thank you for the solid truth of the gospel. In a world where there are so many views and so many opinions, we thank you, Lord, for your truth unchanged and unchanging. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who makes all the difference in times like this. We can say, like the apostle said so many years ago, Lord, to whom can we go but you? For you alone have the words of eternal life. And Father, we thank you that you do not give us a hope for this life only, but we thank you for this blessed promise that there will come a day when our very bodies will be restored and resurrected and made new, when we will be complete with you in heaven and serve you for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for that great company of the church in heaven, drawn from every kindred and tribe and culture and tongue, a vast multitude that no man can number, joined in the praise of the Lamb who was slain and who is alive forevermore. And Father, we realize today that many of us are drawing near the margins of that river of death. Grant, Father, that as we reflect upon the life of Annie and the things that we've been thinking of today, that you will cause us to apply our hearts to wisdom, that we will not be found wanting on that day, that we will not face that day with fear, but in faith, that our Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, will call us home, and so we too will always be with the Lord. Father, come today to bless the family who mourn. Come by your Holy Spirit to cause their grief to be overwhelmed with the joy and the hope of the gospel. And Father, help us all to leave this place to so live that on that day we will not be ashamed to meet you. Lord, hear our prayers and receive our worship, our thanksgiving and our praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We would like to thank the Reverend John for his words this afternoon and for the challenge of the gospel. How true it is, isn't it, that the only hope for us is the hope that Annie had, giving her life to Christ when she was young. She lived for him, and death held no fear for her. So it will be with us if we decide to be courageous enough to hand her all over to him. And I feel that the last hymn that we're going to sing together should help us to do that, because we're thinking in that day that John has already mentioned, when the roll is called, we will have to respond in some way. Let's sing this together as we bring our devotions to a close, and then as we conclude in prayer.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder.
just a few announcements before we pronounce the benediction. Immediately following this service, we will go straight to St. Kieran's Cemetery by car. The family have invited everyone back to the church hall for a cup of tea. And speaking about coming back here for the tea, we would like to express our appreciation to our friends from the Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Woodside and the congregation, for allowing us to use this lovely sanctuary and hall, because if we'd gone over to William Street, I'm not sure what we'd have done. So thank you all very much. We greatly appreciate what you've done, and it's lovely to be able to share in such a roomy place with such a lovely atmosphere of God's presence. Thank you. So do come back for tea after the part in the cemetery. As you know, the family have also expressed the wish to have no flowers. Those who desire may give a donation to St. Luke's and Castlecomer Hospitals. There are two collection boxes out on the table in the porch of the church, and those are there for the purpose to receive your donation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being with us throughout our worship this afternoon. We can truthfully say that you have condescended to be one of our number. We thank you, Lord, for being here. We thank you that our living Saviour, the one who loved us, the one who died for us, the one who was buried for us and rose again for us, has come to help us here in our worship this afternoon. We want to thank you for this, and we want to express our appreciation to you for all that you have done for us and for all that you have been to the Harper family at this time, and Lord, even in anticipation for all that you will be to them in the days that lie ahead. We thank you in Christ's name. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will conclude our devotions this afternoon in the cemetery at the committal.